to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's program, The Political Cesspool. I'm your host, James Edwards, coming to you live from AM 1380 WLRM Studios, our flagship radio station in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. It's Saturday evening, January 29th, as we broadcast to the affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and streaming live online at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. It's been a topsy-turvy show tonight. Keith Alexander carrying the weight during the first hour. And then in the second hour, we had two great guests, prominent Atlanta attorney Sam Dixon and then editor of Alternative Right, Richard Spencer, during the second hour, two venerable guests, two of our all-time favorites. Coming up before the sand spills from the hourglass this evening, later this hour, we will hear from documentary filmmaker Craig Boddicker. He's going to be coming back on tonight. So three great guests tonight. It continues a trend we've been setting this month of January with no less than two or three great guests every night. We have really given you a great selection as we kick off the new year. And we have a lot to talk about this hour. But first, I want to get to a caller who has been patiently waiting, honestly, for a couple of hours now to get on the show. And we thank him for his patience. It's Mark from Georgia.
Hello, how are you?
Doing well. You're on the air, my friend.
I copy that. I heard the and I'm like, okay. I have been following the Restore America plan since I first found out about it on the second Saturday of March of last year. At one point, it might have worked, but apparently an agent provocateur, infiltrator, corruptor, his full name is James Timothy Turner, and I'm seeing this thing on MySpace right now where he's being interviewed. And I don't dispute that the lion's share of what they're saying about the historical nature of the problem, I agree that they basically isolated the nature of the problem about fraudulent changes of the Constitution, that there was an original 13th Amendment regarding foreign titles of nobility like Esquire. That's when I learned things like, oh, they always call it the Bar Association because if people found out that it's British Accreditation Registry, they might go, why do the British have any say as to our legal system, right? Well, that may be true. But the thing is, the guy has made a lot of empty promises, and the funding that was available based on certain conditions of it being very decentralized, that it had to be accountable, it had to be a bottom-up rather than a top-down type arrangement, and there was never any requirement that there be any central government or any, he didn't, you know, we were led to believe that if we made him president of this restored republic, that would get him these, you know, and when I heard this magnitude, I was like, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. He's had over 3 million metric tons of gold. And, you know, perhaps the funding does exist, but the report, credible reports I'm hearing is that basically he destroyed any eligibility on the part of his organization to receive funding because of the shenanigans that were going on. And we were trying to correct those problems. And basically he and the people around him started vilifying people that were raising pertinent questions. And he was accusing people of being de facto plants. And we said, well, where's the evidence? You know, what if there really are de facto plants among us? We need to see the evidence so we can deal with these people appropriately. And they never disclosed any evidence at all. It was just accusation posed as proof, a top-down organization that was immuning itself from correction. And we were running these conference calls where, if I understand correctly, Kelby Thomas Smith was basically not allowing people that were dissenting to have their voices heard as required by Robert's Rules of Order. So basically, this effort fell apart, and a small minority within the state of Georgia decided to follow him, and now they seated in, you know, as a minority in clear defiance, you know, they're claiming, oh, well, see, Georgia's been reseated. It's like, no, you found a group of sycophants among us that didn't acknowledge that there's some serious problems with what's happened. Am I making sense so far?
Well, I'm trying to follow as best I can. I'm not sure if I've been privy to the information you've been sharing with us tonight, and we're running short on time. But let me ask you this, Mark. Is there a website that you can give out where people can research this on their own time?
Terry Hinkle was the spark in the powder keg that she brought to light things that needed to be addressed. Her site is restoredusa.blogspot.com. Their site is Republic either of or for republicoftheunitedstates.org. But again, you cannot take their side. I'm not asking anybody to blindly accept anything. You know, test all things, hold fast to that, which is good. I think they have a lot of legitimate points about the nature of the problem with the de facto government, but they have taken things out of context. There's a certain element of the government that is needful to be a corporation in the sense of dealing with commerce, of buying and selling and like that. But it's not supposed to be a cancer that devours the entire system. That's what wound up happening with the fraud of the 14th Amendment and the historical developments that followed. So we're on the same page that something went seriously wrong with the form of government that we don't have the form of government the founders intended. What we wound up with is exactly what they warned us against.
Well, that's exactly right. That much we can agree on. Hey, Mark, got to take a break, buddy. Give out that website one more time.
Okay. Terry Hinkle's site is restored, like past tense, restoredusa.blogspot.com. And she's got a number of entries. And quite frankly, if things go, if Tim Turner doesn't wind up with a club fed perp walk, it's because he accuses people of being a de facto plant. I suspect that he himself and Charles Wright are the de facto plants. They've got a lot of legitimate points, but their solution is only to replace one group of criminals with another.
All right. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I guess I followed some of that, and I do thank him for the call. I thank all of our listeners. So he gave out a website. If anyone's interested in that, what you had to say, check it out. And since we don't have much time left in this segment, did you catch the Orangeburg, South Carolina IHOP brawl? You've heard about it. Now you can watch it on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. The usual suspects are involved, naturally. It's not quite as good as the brawl that we posted from the IHOP in California around Halloween, but it's still pretty good, and it's new. So check it out, Orangeburg IHOP brawl. I believe I posted that on January 27th, so a couple of days ago. Anyway, it's there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And we will be coming back with more. Rand Paul calls for an end to foreign aid, including that to Israel. Black History Month approaches. Tim Adams is back in the news. We're going to try to cover all of that in the next segment before Craig Boddicker joins us tonight on the Political Cesspool. Got to take a break. I'll be right back.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to the show. Coming up after the next commercial break, we'll be joined by documentary filmmaker Craig Boddicker. Always great to have Craig on the show. He'll be rounding out tonight's lineup that also featured Sam Dixon and Richard Spencer. But first, I want to go ahead and give out the award, the 2011 award for the most pathetic excuse for a white man. You might have read about this on our website. That award goes to Jeff Stevens of the United Kingdom. Now, there's no need to wait. I know it's only January, but there's no need to wait until 2011 is over to hand out this award. Nobody is going to top Jeff Stevens. Now, Mr. Stevens works in local government over there in England, and he is suing the agency that employs him for the terrible duress that they've inflicted on him. It got so bad that he's been on sick leave since August for depression. He commented to an interviewer that he's now on a cocktail of medication. He's only been able to sleep for 3 hours a night since August because of the physical and mental exhaustion that's killing him. Now, how did his co-workers and bosses make his life so terrible? Well, it seems that Jeff Stevens is originally from Australia, and the council worker is suing bosses after accusing colleagues of making racist comments, including constantly greeting him with "good day, sport." They regularly greet him by saying "good day, sport," and "is your girlfriend called Sheila?" Other phrases include "throw another shrimp on the Barbie" and jokes about kangaroos. No, I'm not making this up, but what Jeff doesn't understand is that he's white. So, therefore, he will not be able to take frivolous lawsuits like this and expect to win, which makes him so pathetic. But, of course, it is true that if he were an African immigrant from Australia who had heard the same sort of good-natured remarks about tigers and elephants instead of kangaroos, he would have no doubt been awarded millions of pounds for his suffering, this racist abuse, so on and so forth. But the proper response to this outrageous state of affairs isn't to make a fool of yourself like Jeff Stevens has, trying to jump on the gravy train, but to work to repeal the outrageous so-called civil rights laws which make it possible. Besides, as everyone knows, this kind of stuff doesn't work for white people, as I already mentioned, and you only look pathetic trying to play this game. Hats off, though, to Jeff Stevens, our winner of the 2011 award for the most pathetic excuse for a white man. I mentioned quite a few stories I'm going to try to cover in this segment before we bring on our next guest. I don't think I'm going to have time to get to them all. Whatever we don't get to, we will save for next week. Another big show next week, as it is every Saturday night here on the Political Cesspool and Liberty News Radio Network. But our old friend Tim Adams is back in the news, and this is actually a column that I wrote for the Liberty News website this week. And this is just one of those stories that just won't die. As people will remember, we broke the news of Tim Adams to the world on our broadcast last year. It was back in June. Since then, it took several convoluted twists and turns, but broadcasting live from a Council of Conservative Citizens meeting, and it was a live studio audience. We were broadcasting from location in Nashville that night. We interviewed Tim Adams, who was a former senior elections clerk in Hawaii, who said that he was assured by his supervisors that there was no and is no Obama birth certificate in Hawaii. Then Jerome Corsi, who is also featured as a guest on this show in the past, a best-selling New York Times author, now writing for WorldNet Daily, contacted me and practically begged me to share everything I knew with him. WorldNet Daily's Joe Kovacs, another writer, finally got in on the act, and you know the story. He promised to give us full credit, then refused to make mention of us for breaking the story when he wrote the article about Tim Adams for WorldNet Daily. Anyway, the news now is, as you know, just after the elections last November, newly elected governor of Hawaii, Neil Abercrombie, said, and yes, it's that Abercrombie of Abercrombie and Fitch fame, said one of the first things he was going to do was release the birth certificate to shut up those crazy birthers. And then he got suspiciously silent for weeks. Now he's announced that he can't produce a birth certificate for Obama because Obama won't authorize its release, so he's given up. And, of course, it's those crazy birthers who are responsible for all the speculation, not Obama and his refusal to give permission to release his birth certificate. I guess Abercrombie's way of thinking is that this somehow proves that the certificate exists, and he has somehow refuted the crazy birthers by saying, even though I promised to make this document accessible to you, I can't do it, but I've seen it, so shut up. And it goes without saying that doesn't impress me very much at all. But Tim Adams, back in the news again at WorldNet Daily, Jerome Corsi, a follow-up interview. He has now issued a sworn affidavit, a legally notarized document saying that what he says is true. So he's kind of upped the ante a little bit, and we appreciate him for doing that. And, of course, we appreciate him choosing our radio program and this network as his venue to break his story to the world. And, of course, since then he's become quite the celebrity. But he does write in this affidavit that is viewable at the WorldNet Daily website that during the course of his employment for the state of Hawaii, that he became aware that many requests were being made to the city and county of Honolulu, Elections Division, the Hawaii Office of Elections, and the Hawaii Department of Health from around the country to obtain a copy of then-Senator Barack Obama's long-form hospital-generated birth certificate. As he inquired about the certificate, he says, according to this affidavit and this notarized document, that his supervisors told him that the records were not on file at the Hawaii Department of Health. Tim Adams goes on to say that my supervisor came and told me, of course there's no birth certificate. And it goes on from there. The story reads a little bit further. But anyway, I doubt that the powers that be will admit the truth until long, long after Obama is gone from the White House. It took him 40 years to admit that the Gulf of Tonkin incident was a hoax perpetrated by LBJ, so I don't think that we'll hear the truth from official channels anytime soon. And besides, who do you think is going to be the person to voluntarily reveal that America's first black president isn't who he claims to be? Or worse yet, that he's not even legally qualified to be president? To do that would be racist, and nobody wants to be a racist. Read more about this story by visiting our official website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Actually, this column is also at libertynewsradio.com, so check it out. You'll be glad you did. Good to see Tim Adams back in the news, though. We're certainly excited about that, though. It was a big year for us last year, and it's already kicked off another great year this year, in 2011, with all these great guests we've been having. You got to tune into this show every week. You just don't know what we're going to be doing. Hutton Gibson, Entertainment Tonight one week, Tim Adams the next, Pat Buchanan. Could be anybody. You got to tune in. Rand Paul, don't have enough time to get into this story, but I do encourage you to go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Read Rand Paul. He's kind of, I guess he's bipolar. I don't know, maybe schizophrenic. He's good one day and off his rocker the next when it comes to sticking to the line and towing the paleoconservative line, but he wants to cut off all foreign aid. That's a great idea when your country's $1.5 trillion in debt and you're giving billions to hundreds of billions around the world every year, especially to states like Israel. But check Rand Paul's article about Rand Paul out in foreign aid, including to Israel. Also got some stuff up there about Black History Month. We'll get into that later. Not enough time tonight. Got to take a break. Craig Boddicker is going to be with us right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out
of this place. Ladies and gentlemen, I am sitting here partying while I broadcast the show. Well, a virtual party anyway. The Council of Conservative Citizens online chat that coincides with each live broadcast of our show on Saturday nights. We're there with a bunch of fans of the Political Cesspool from around the world and enjoying the conversation with them, as I always do. And we're talking about how quickly the time flies when you're having fun. Only, less than 30 minutes now left in the program tonight, 2.5 hours all in the book. It goes by so quickly each and every Saturday night. And thankfully, though, we're going to end tonight's show with a bang. Our third and final guest of the evening is the documentary filmmaker Craig Boddicker. He made a big splash a couple of years ago when he debuted his first film, the DVD, A Conversation About Race. Craig, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for
appearing again tonight by popular demand, I might add.
That's real flattery. I'm real grateful for having me on, James.
Well, it's great to have you on. I tell you, folks, if you've not yet checked out, and I would have a hard time believing anyone listening to our show tonight hasn't, but if you've not yet bought your copy of Craig's groundbreaking film, it's a 60-minute documentary-style film, a conversation about race, you got to check it out. Between Craig's video and my book, you will definitely know what is being tossed around as the modern-day definition of racism, and you will not be afraid of that charge ever again. I tell you, between my book and your movie, Craig, we got it. We can definitely make a joke out of the whole racism industry.
Well, I definitely agree with you there, especially the schmacism part.
Well, Craig, like I said, we were talking earlier today, for the benefit of those who haven't seen your film yet. I know you've been on several times to promote it, and most of us have seen it, but for the benefit of those who perhaps have not, let's do a quick cursory review of what the film was all about, what you intended to show, and how you did it.
Well, yeah, in a nutshell, I thought that it was pretty obvious where conventional wisdom about the subject of race differs from where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. So I got a camera and a crew together, and I ran an ad in Craigslist about ending racism now and looking for a subject to interview on that specific topic of ending racism now. And I got people mainly looking for people who said they saw racism every day in their lives. And so I got a group of these people together that said they saw racism every day, and then I just started to kind of ask them simple questions, but each question seemed to get a little tougher about what exactly was the racism that they saw and when did you see it. And it ended up becoming kind of funny. Where you find out that the belief in racism is much more of a religious belief than it is any kind of a scientific endeavor.
Yeah, and you know, Craig, I know you went in there very objectively. You weren't trying to make fools out of these people and their responses, and you didn't edit their answers in a way that would make them look foolish. Unfortunately, when you subscribe to cultural Marxism or political correctness, you can do that all on your own. You ask them very basic questions about, as you mentioned, what constitutes racism in their daily lives? How are they victims of racism? And you had a very, dare I say, diverse panel of interview subjects there, all different ages, all different races. What were some of the answers you got from them when asked how what racism is to them, how it afflicts them in their lives?
Well, that's one of the most illustrative parts, I think, of the project, was that people who just finished telling you that they see racism every day in their lives, and then you say, all right, give me an example of it, and they might go back 30 years to when a day when they were in a lift line and as a teenager and somebody insulted them. Or they might turn into a real vague generality about, you know, we have a border with Canada, but we, you know, or we don't want to stop people coming in from Canada, but we want to stop people from Mexico, so therefore we're racist. The people would adamantly tell me how much racism they saw, but when it came to a specific incident of it, some of the worst were staring, being overly friendly, things like that. No real examples of any persecution.
You know, as I've pointed out on this radio program, you know, the classic definition of racism, which means just an irrational hatred or ill will towards those who aren't of your culture or creed, is certainly not what's passing as the modern-day definition of racism, to go back to what we said at the beginning of the segment. And I really believe, and I say this with all sincerity, that Craig's product here is the definitive tool that can just show you what a glass house this racism industry resides in. If you have not bought it, folks, get it. And if you already have a copy, get another one for your friends. It is that powerful. Then you know that I don't like to over-exaggerate the importance of something on this show. That's Craig's DVD. And, Craig, give that website out, and we'll give it out a couple of times.
Sure, aconversationaboutrace.com.
Check it out, ladies and gentlemen, aconversationaboutrace.com. I know, Craig, that you also went on a few months later to provide some outtakes from the original full-length feature film, and that was more of a conversation about race.
Right. When I originally decided to do the project, I had in mind the idea of a feature film. But, you know, sometimes by the time you get done with a project, it changes shape somewhat. And this one ended up seeming to come in a little better in the hour format. So we kept it an hour on the final edit. But then because of some of the success the film had seen, I started looking back at some of the stuff we took out, and I thought it was pretty good. And so we ended up saying, well, what the heck, let's just add another 35 minutes to it. We'll make it an official supplement to a conversation about race. And I was pretty happy with the way it came out. Gave me a little more chance to practice with different editing techniques and different moods and things like that. All in all, a lot of fun.
Did the reception that the film got, the critical acclaim, did it meet or exceed your expectations, or did it fall short?
Well, I have to say it exceeded my expectations. There's no question about that. When I first took the gamble of trying to go out and make my first documentary, if somebody would have said, well, the Wall Street Journal is going to call your interviews fascinating, I would have said, well, that's enough for me right there, you know. And I walked in pretty much thinking that the Wall Street Journal is not going to look at my work. And so I was pretty pleased when they did. So, yeah, I have to say the critical acclaim much exceeded what I expected. Looking back at it now, I think, boy, I probably was in the right place at the right time to make this movie. Of course, when I was making it, I was even thinking, too, there might be someone else right now making the same movie because the points are becoming so obvious.
It's so unique. It's so one of a kind and unprecedented. What led you, Craig, to stick your feet in this murky water? And by that, I mean, you were very honest, very objective, and you didn't mask the responses to fit the politically correct template. And in doing so, you had to know that you would have set yourself up to be a target, and certainly you've received some of the same scorn and condemnation that all of us truth tellers have received. What led you to let this be? Because you have so much talent, and I know that this was your debut work in a professional capacity, but what led you to pursue this particular idea when you could have done a documentary on anything, from animals to the environment? You could have done anything. You chose to focus on racism.
Well, I think that really is just the internal optimist in me, and I really do still believe in America, and I still believe that if you want to make the best film you can make, instead of trying to kiss the right butts, you should try to make something that's really at home in your heart. And I thought this issue of race, it fascinates me. It gets me really angry at times. And I'm thinking, well, from what I've read from other producers, the best work that they've done has been stuff that they've really felt sincere about. And so I thought, well, you know, I know I'm probably going to make some people hate me, but this seems to be the subject that I can probably do the best.
Well, you certainly did, Craig. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting here in the Political Cesspool Council of Conservative Citizens online chat and virtual fan party. And Craig, everybody there, well, they're a big fan of yours, and I think most of them have seen the film, and that's what we'd like. We like to give the people what they want, and they want you tonight. And again, if you have not yet read about more about this film, if this is your introduction to Craig Boddicker and his work, you need more information. You can get that information at www.aconversationaboutrace.com. It really delivers a powerful punch. It is deftly produced, and it will make you think and leave a lasting impression on you. We got to take a break. When we come back, we will be rejoined by Craig Boddicker. We're going to ask him about his recent projects and future projects. So stay tuned for that.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. We got Welcome back To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, the final segment of tonight's program now upon us. We'll be back with you next week, of course, same time, same place, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. here in Memphis on AM 1380 and, of course, on the Liberty News Radio Network and their fine affiliate stations across the country. Final guest for tonight, of course, the famed filmmaker Craig Boddicker, a conversation about race. At the risk of sounding redundant, I will remind you one more time, if you haven't got it, it is the must-see movie this year, last year, year before, year to come. A Conversation About Race.com. Craig was good enough to give us a brief review on the original film there during that last segment. Craig, I know that you have recently undertaken a project with the man of the hour tonight, Jared Taylor. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Actually, that was part of a project that we put together with another man of the hour, with Richard Spencer, actually, with the National Policy Institute and a group called the H.L. Mencken Club. And the interesting thing was that Mr. Taylor wasn't actually invited to speak at this conference, but he was there. We were just lucky enough to catch him while we had the cameras set up. And we thought, you know, if I can get 10 minutes with Jared Taylor, that would be great. So he graciously gave us 10 minutes while we were doing the interviews with these other just super A-list conservative guests that were speaking at the H.L. Mencken Club in Baltimore. So we ended up getting this great interview with Jared Taylor, just talking about the basics, about how diversity really isn't a strength and things like that. And then talking with these other seven speakers, getting into some real detail about some conservative topics that we people like us care about, into more detail than you usually see from something like me. It was really a lot of fun. It was a lot of work too, but it was a lot of fun to go there and try to set up some video to make people who speak for our cause look intelligent and look the way we want them to look instead of the way we end up looking on TV sometimes.
Yeah, you know, the aesthetic is so important, and I can't compliment this video enough. It is just so well done. The color is so bright. The video is so sharp. And I know, as you mentioned, you recorded quite a few of these at the H.L. Mencken Club there in Baltimore a few weeks back. Jared Taylor's interview with you has already been released. I know it's on the Council of Conservative Citizens website tonight, cfcc.org. I think it's at the top left corner. Do you know where else it's been published, Craig?
Well, I've had it on my YouTube page for I'd say 10 days now. I've got about 4,000 views.
And how can people find that?
I go by, on YouTube, I go by Craig B, so it's the name Craig, C-R-A-I-G-B-E, and it's all one word, Craig B.
All right, folks, we'll check that out on YouTube. And who else did you get interviews with, Craig, at that meeting?
One of the great ones, Peter Brimlow from VDare.
Right.
And he also... He didn't have a lot of time either, but he gave me a good solid 10 minutes talking about how his topic was, how we could dissolve the people of America and elect a new people. A pretty clever twist on what's happening. Instead of dissolving a government and electing a new one, we're electing a new people. So I got to spend some time with him, conservative author John Derbyshire, let's see. It's hard on the tip of my tongue to try to come up with some of the other ones. Steve Saylor, I have to mention, just a fascinating guy to spend some time with. And I have to consider myself really lucky to be able to sit down with some real, you know, real intellectuals of our movement and really get into some detailed conversations and thoughts about, you know, where do we take our movement? When we talk about, does race exist? Let's find out, you know, scientifically, from a genetic standpoint, does it really exist? And talk to some people about genetics. And frankly, a lot of it's over my head, but fascinating stuff to see on in an interview situation.
Well, it's great that you were able to do that. You mentioned some of the names of the people that you were able to sit down and talk with. Of course, Peter Brimlow, former editor of Forbes magazine, best-selling author of Alien Nation, just an all-star guy all the way around, a good friend of ours. All of those people you mentioned have been guests on this show, and they're great. And so those will be, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Craig, released sort of staggeredly?
I think we did release them, but they're released. The easiest way to see them is on a website called hlmencklub.org.
All right, folks, write that down, hlmencklub.org. If you want to see just the Jared Taylor interview, I've been talking a lot about Jared tonight. CFCC.org, check out Craig Boddicker's YouTube page, and it'll be readily accessible there.
Also my Facebook page as well. If you're Craig Boddicker at Facebook, most of them are, I think they're all posted there as well.
All right, there you go. So fair enough. That's one of your more recent projects. What's to come for Craig Boddicker?
I'm not going to get into any specifics at this point, but I will say let's look for some dramatic stuff.
Dramatic stuff? Are you more dramatic than a conversation about race?
Well, the conversation about race technically is a documentary, and I was lucky to get some pretty dramatic footage. But I'm thinking maybe what if I tried to direct some drama?
Hey, listen, it will be an exciting project. That much we know for sure. You've certainly outdone yourself with that which you've produced and submitted thus far. And always great to have you on the show, Craig. Always great to talk about your work and
so kind, James.
Promote your work. Anything left you'd like to share with the audience?
Just, you know, let's all hold together. Let's cross our fingers to make sure this Ameren thing is successful. And let's all be aware of you know, I think what Sam Dixon was talking about earlier, about the fact that we really are under the gun right now. In fact, that we're going to have to do something.
Well, with brave and honorable, courageous men like you, Craig, I think that we'll do just fine in the long run. And the days are dark right now, but there are people who are speaking out. There are people who are leading the way. We've had three guests tonight that are doing just that, and always great to hear from Craig Boddicker. Check him out again, ladies and gentlemen, at aconversationaboutrace.com, aconversationaboutrace.com. Craig, thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you, James.
Craig Boddicker, everyone. Going to take one more quick call tonight. Tony from North Carolina. That's the battleground right now. Tony, you're on the line.
Yes, I was calling about the Charlotte, the attack show, or facing. Might not be aware of it. There's been a lot of bad weather in the South this year.
That's right.
And it's caused the schools to have to make up days. And MLK Day, they determined, was one of those days. And that got a lot of the blacks upset. And they're trying to say Charlotte's a racist city. So now they're going out of their way to really, you know, show how they're not racist. Even though the mayor is black, the police chief is black, and I think five members on the board are black, school board. So,
yeah, no, you're right about that, and I was aware of that. Charlotte is a very beautiful city. I've had business and affairs to tend to in Charlotte before, but it is a very liberal city. One of the more liberal cities in the South, if you can believe it, and our caller just alluded to, and I want to thank him for the call. He's right. That was actually something that kind of broke a few days before Jared Taylor's controversy here, or the controversy in which Jared Taylor has been thrown into. Certainly not Jared's fault that you can't count on hotels to honor contracts, that you can't expect the freedom of association and the freedom of speech to be afforded to you as well because you're politically incorrect, even though Jill is a Yale graduate. He is a gentleman and a scholar, and everyone who attends his meetings are of the highest caliber, highest character, but you can't expect for equal rights for the politically incorrect. But anyway, as the caller mentioned, we have had more snow than usual in the South this year, and because it had snowed so much in Charlotte and so many days of school had to be missed, they decided to hold classes on MLK Day. And that was just this great controversy. How dare the kids go to school and not sit at home and worship at the altar of King, who is now the you know, the god of political correctness. Well, anyway, that caused a manufactured controversy and there is some overlapping with that and what's going on with Jared and Amran. But the bottom line is, and we got to say this one more time, we have less than a minute left. The Amran Conference will be held in Charlotte, North Carolina, February 4th through the 6th. It will be held at an alternate location, and when it is held, it will make it that much more enjoyable for those who have had to suffer such injustice. And I hope that everyone will be there. And we will be broadcasting next week during the Amran Conference, and we will be giving you all the latest news here on the Political Cesspool, so be sure to catch us. Thanks to Richard Spencer, Sam Dixon, and Craig Boddicker for being on the program tonight, as well as our staff here in Memphis and in Utah at the Liberty News Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm James Edwards. Thanks to all of those gathered in the CFCC online chat tonight. We will see you next week. Good night. God bless you. And remember to live life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apology. See you next Saturday.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.